My objective today is to describe the yielding costs of an HIV RNA testing program that we conducted at STD clinics and outreach sites affiliated with the Baltimore City Health Department. The purpose of HIV RNA testing is that it allows earlier detection of HIV. First and second generation EIEs and rapid tests can detect antibodies by day 32 to 39, but RNA is detectable as early as day 9. During acute HIV infection, which is this time between HIV acquisition and seroconversion, transmission is especially high because of high viral loads and increased viral shedding, and because individuals are unaware of their infection status. So earlier diagnosis of RNA by RNA testing can trigger interventions, either at the individual level or the network level, to reduce transmission during this highly infectious time. Here's how HIV viral load tests, which are routinely used in HIV clinics, can be applied to screening a large number of samples. You start with specimens that are negative by EIA. You take a small portion from 10 individual specimens and pool them into intermediate pools. And then you take a small portion from each of the intermediate pools and group it into a master pool. The master pool is what gets tested for HIV RNA using PCR technology. If the master pool is negative, then you're done. If it's positive, you go back and you test in each of the intermediate pools to determine which one is positive, and then you test each individual specimen within that intermediate pool to determine which specimen is positive. The reasons for using this pooling algorithm instead of testing each individual sample for RNA are, one, it's cheaper, and two, it improves specificity. There are at least 8 published US studies that combined pooled HIV RNA testing with first or second generation EIA or rapid tests. In these studies, HIV RNA testing increased the diagnostic yield on average by 6.4%. The increased yield ranged from 0% in a small study in a Los Angeles jail to 10.3%. Here's an example of what I mean by increased diagnostic yield. The first published study of HIV RNA testing done in North Carolina enrolled over 8,000 subjects. 39, or about 0.4% of the sample, tested positive by EIA and Western blot. In addition, there were 4 who tested negative by EIA but were picked up by HIV RNA. So this jump from 39 detected cases to 43 detected cases is an increase of 10.3%. We set up a pooled HIV RNA testing program in Baltimore to increase detection of HIV seroconverters. Specimens that were positive on EIA were confirmed by Western blot, and specimens that were negative on EIA were pooled for HIV RNA testing. The size of our master pools was determined by the fact that we needed to test master pools that were often enough to get all results back to patients within 7 days of their visit. From June 2006 to March 2008, the program included all HIV tests done in the 2 public STD clinics. And then beginning in mid-2007, we expanded to other health department clinics, such as teen clinic and family planning, to community-based organizations such as drug treatment programs, and to the needle exchange van. All cases of acute HIV infection detected by RNA were referred to DIS as top priority. Cases were interviewed about their sex partners and needle-sharing partners, and DIS attempted to contact these partners and offer voluntary HIV testing. We conducted a cost analysis retrospectively. We included the costs of labor, supplies, and overhead for the HIV RNA testing component. In other words, costs above and beyond the cost of regular antibody testing. Here's what we found. We tested over 60,000 specimens. 40% came from the STD clinics and 60% from outreach sites. 1,766 were positive by EIA. 18% of the positives came from the clinics and 82% from outreach sites. Our RNA algorithm led to the detection of 6 cases of acute HIV. 4 of the cases were from the STD clinics, 1 came from the needle exchange van, and 1 from a mobile STD testing van. Overall, HIV RNA testing increased our diagnostic yield by only 0.34%. This low yield would still have been extremely valuable if the 6 cases of acute HIV infection had led us to identify micronetworks where transmission was currently taking place so that we could intervene there. 5 of the 6 index cases named 15 partners, but DIS were able to contact only 5 of them, and among these 5, we detected no previously unknown cases of HIV. Here are the results of our cost analysis for the 22 months that the program was operating. The main expenses were test kits and labor. The total cost of the program was nearly $184,000, or $30,645 for each additional case detected by HIV RNA. Because of the high cost per case and the fact that we did not identify networks for intervention, we discontinued HIV RNA testing in March 2008. So why did our HIV RNA testing program have such disappointing results compared to previous studies? Several factors determine the utility of HIV RNA testing. One is characteristics of the local epidemic. In North Carolina, for example, a great benefit of HIV RNA testing is that it identified an unexpected epidemic among African American MSM college students, and this triggered the expansion of testing and prevention programs within the state's colleges and universities. We had no such discovery in Baltimore. It's possible that in the population we were testing, we have an older epidemic with more established infections and fewer acute infections. Our program may not have reached the population where incidence is highest, such as MSM. A second factor that determines the utility of HIV RNA testing is EIA technology. Newer EIA tests are more sensitive during early infection. Unlike the previous studies that combined HIV RNA testing with first or second generation EIA or rapid tests, we used a third generation EIA. These tests turned positive at approximately 22 days after HIV acquisition. So we assume that a proportion of early infection was already being picked up with serologic testing alone, and RNA testing was picking up cases who presented for testing during this narrow window between 9 and 22 days after acquisition. There are several program implications. One is that lab volume determines the size of the master pools and therefore the cost of labor and test kits. In order to get results back within 7 days, our master pools had to be relatively small, on average 65 to 70 specimens. In contrast, the HIV RNA testing program in the New York City STD clinics used master pools of 512 specimens. If we had been able to use larger master pools, our cost to detect a case of acute HIV might have been significantly lower, even with the same turnaround time. A second program implication is that the usefulness of HIV RNA testing in identifying networks for intervention depends on the success of contact tracing. Of 15 partners named by our index cases, our DIS were able to contact only 5. It may be that if our contact tracing had been more successful, we could have found a network of active transmission like the one found in North Carolina, and this might have also made our program more productive for the same costs. It's been a topic of debate whether HIV RNA testing should become a standard of care, particularly among high-risk groups. The low yield of our program suggests that HIV RNA testing will not be universally fruitful. We recommend local evaluation of RNA testing before it's widely implemented as a standard of care. And I'd like to thank Phyllis Barnett and the DIS at Baltimore City Health Department. Thank you.
Very nice presentation, Liz, especially was edifying to see that you carried forth with the cost analysis to see what it would cost to find these individuals. And I think your explanations are for the differences were informative. I would just like to ask, if you were designing this study again, what would you do differently?
One thing for the cost analysis, at least, is that our DIS time was retrospective mm-hmm. and somewhat of a guesstimate. Mm-hmm.
Would you do it for a longer period of time or different population?
This is the population that we served. So mm-hmm. when I noted that we might not be getting the population with the greatest incidence, I was referring to the fact that although we care for MSM at the STD clinics, and it, of the five index cases that we interviewed, two out of the five listed male partners only. But in general, a lot of MSM go to a community health center in town that is not affiliated with our lab, and mm-hmm. so we missed that whole group.
Question here.
Of AHI.
Rather than one,
but most of the other tests were in clinics, not in ERs and other acute care settings.
Any other questions in the back?
No, it was the initial EIA of anyone presenting for HIV testing.
We know that possibility of finding a positive test depends on the greatest probability. So do you think that if you have done this test for full sample of certified tests with non-HIV positive, would they yield higher
The question, I believe, is if we only did pool testing on known on partners of known HIV positives, would we have a higher yield? My guess is the higher the prevalence, and of course the higher the yield. So we elicited five partners total from our index cases. Are you saying those are the five who should have, that pool testing should have been limited to those five?
I think he's saying only include in your pool.
We know it's expensive. Why was the test not done in a group that is most likely to be positive? What I mean is.
Well, for example, so in Washington State, they've limited pooled RNA testing to MSM only because they know that that's their highest prevalence group and or incidence group, and that's where they're going to get the most bang for their buck.
Are there any plans to use it for certified tests of non-HIV who test negative by oral colorectal?
Right now, we've discontinued all HIV RNA testing.
More question?
Can we speak up?
This funding grant only funded this write-up, and the actual intervention was funded by?
Actually, it was kind of it was a housing boom. Benefit from Baltimore City government. It was actually funded by the local government of the initiative that our health officer asked for, and got funding from the local government in the last year unprecedented tax receipts.
Okay, I think we'll have to move on now. Thanks very much, Liz.